close to unanimous. A 5-4 vote, Richard Chavez, Caesar's brother, voted with him, although he didn't agree with him. He felt that a change had to be made if farm workers were going to be involved. But he voted with Caesar because of his loyalty to his brother. And because Caesar had said, you know, if we give up the volunteer system, I'm out of here. I'm not gonna do this. It's too important to me, and I will not spend my life doing it if it's not the way we all agreed to do it at the beginning. So that 5-4 vote then was in jeopardy when the Salinas lettuce workers decided to challenge the UFW, the Cesar Chavez slate at the convention.
No, it wasn't. They were already gone.
Pardon?
They were already gone by then. It wasn't that. I mean, they would have gotten one seat. They would not have had a majority.
Anyway,
it was the same issue.
They would have, the majority might have changed on the board if these lettuce workers in Salinas were, in fact, elected to the board. So Caesar used all of his influence and power and the staff that were at his disposal to crush that, what he felt like was an uprising manipulated by former staff people, but was in fact, from the workers' point of view, a realization of their dream to be full participants in this union that they had fought for. And, but for Caesar, it was a direct conflict with his vision.
I'm having a hard time understanding how Chavez, how did he have this, did he always have this power in relationship to everyone around him in terms of this decision making? I mean, I don't understand how was it that he got to decide all that?
He decided on 10 cents for gasoline.
It was not a democracy.
Everything was decided by Caesar.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah. And from the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
And we just all kind of like, we love being there.
And I would say that the only thing that changed is that he gave, in the beginning, and there are people to this day who participated who are committed to the idea that things were different, that there was a democracy in the beginning and everything was different and it changed. But I've listened to hundreds of hours of these meetings and it's always been this way. And I think he was he expended more effort in some of the earlier years in giving the appearance of soliciting input and being gentler about getting people.
He had to begin with because he was the Viet Cong gorilla, and he had to depend on people more. But when stuff developed, in December of 1965, 2 months after this strike, Ruther came to Delano and gave a $5,000 contribution. Caesar said to me, that's the $5,000 installment on our independence. This guy knew more than most people. He was so smart, but he didn't know how to lead fundamentally.
He didn't know how to lead beyond the,
right.
I mean, what, I left unhappily, right? But I have never given up the belief that what we did was beautiful and impossible. And then Caesar was the reason. And he may not have been perfect, and later on he may become more imperfect, but it was a beautiful thing that we did, and almost impossible. Who could have imagined it, that these few workers in this one town would actually defeat the agribusiness industry in California, which was, by the way, not just the number one economic force in the state, but also the number one political force in the state.
Yeah.
We couldn't get Democrats on our side at the beginning, because in the San Joaquin Valley, they were beholden to the growers.
Same thing today, right.
Yeah, anybody in upstate New York knows that, or in North Carolina, or whatever, so.
But if it had been more collaborative, if it had been more democratic, because I think it's part of the essence that I'm sensing your frustration on that, would the change have happened?
What I struggle with is, in retrospect, I didn't do anywhere near enough struggling at the time. I was a true believer, and I participated in some really shitty stuff.
Yeah, but
for that reason.
People and movements changed. There was some real beauty, including in its leadership in those first years.
Oh, absolutely.
People change, you know, and how are you going to deal with the different conditions?
But what I struggle with is, like, what did Caesar have in mind? How were we going to empower farm workers? I mean, if the staff were going to be volunteers, and farm workers, generally speaking, would not join the staff for that reason, how were we going to empower farm workers? The ranch committees are the answers, but there was no attention paid to strengthening the ranch committees.
Well, and in the places where the ranch committees became strong, they became a threat. You know, and it goes back to CSO. I mean, there's a lot of interesting people, I think, who are interested in community organizing. The lessons of the community service organization are really interesting and relevant because, can I just talk about the middle class thing for a sec? Because I think
that's relevant. Sure.
That one of the things that when Chavez organized in CSO, one of the things that happened in a lot of the CSO chapters is that as the members became empowered, they aspired to use that power toward
middle class.
They aspired to be part of the middle class. That was their goal.
Yeah.
And he despised that.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons he left CSO was out of frustration with that. And I think that he talked about this at the time fairly frequently, that he was not going to be in a position again where that happened. And, you know, one of the lessons of all of this is that when you empower people, sometimes they want to use that power towards a goal that you do not necessarily think is the correct one. And how do you know, is that a risk you're willing to take? And in his case, it wasn't.
No, I mean, it began to happen, and he began to...
And he squashed it.
And he, like, pushed people out.
Jim Drake, yeah, I mean, he moved from the farm worker organizing into the community organizing, I think, you know, exactly because he saw those problems, and that's where he was going for him to deal with it.
I asked Matt, because I'd never known. Miriam, do you know? Why did Jim actually leave? I mean, I have my theory that he took on a big election at the largest grape grower in the world, Jamara Vineyard Corporation, and lost it. And persuaded Caesar to go forward with it, but then lost it. And I think Caesar just punished him.
It,
I think he just punished him by giving him menial tasks after that.
Hey, did you read the paper? For the Napa Valley to negotiate contracts, and I think my dad just said, oh, look, you know, I'm better than this, and I don't want to see good people getting hurt. Although he never said so much to me, but you know, that was the feeling of it. And John Moyer, his comment in the book with him discussed today, was a good counsel in that and was prominent with the Industrial Areas Foundation and kind of was trying to persuade my dad to work for the Industrial Areas Foundation.
And you got mad at
instead him. My dad chose to go work in Mississippi for 4 years and try just organizing grassroots on his own to see what he could do. But I think the biggest lesson maybe that he learned was that empowering people isn't about having a charismatic leader, it's about teaching. And so the first 2 years of anything he would do was all interviews and teaching, and then the second 2 years was helping the people achieve their agenda, and then it was time to go. Because anytime you became more important than the cause you were championing, ran the risk of destroying
it. We needed that. We needed to win the impossible. We needed that leader. The boycott around the country needed that leader. And they needed his sacrifice, because his sacrifice forced all of us to do more than we should have done. But we did do, because we were trying to keep up with him. And but anyway, so we needed him.
They created all these other really powerful organizers out of the field.
Yeah, we needed him, but then the Industrial Areas Foundation always told us that the founder is not going to be able to successfully make the transition from the founding success to an organization that delivers for its membership. And I always thought, who the hell do they think they are? I mean, we're here, they're there, what do they know? Oh, well. What did I know?
With Willie back there.
The question the point you raised, and I'm trying to understand it a little clearer, is the limitations in this concept of leadership that could take him past somewhere in his vision. That. I mean, we're here at POP Initiative, we have what we call the POP Scholars Program, where we've identified leaders of these emerging struggles, whether it's housing or work, job place situations, and so on, trying to build what we talk about, reigniting Dr. Martin Luther King's Poor People's Movement to end poverty, not just to get a better working condition, say, among taxi workers or among domestic workers, but how you have this larger vision of a society, you know, that can end poverty. And so what interests me most is here's a very charismatic, a very effective, it's not good, very capable leader and very smart and creative leader that emerged, had a limited, somehow a limited view and vision, or a vision that conflict with him taking the struggle a little further. I want you to comment on that a little more, because this is precisely the point we're at, because a lot of the groups that we're meeting, leaders, they're very good and they've been very effective in terms of leading in one front of activity. But then to take it to the next level, that's where the struggle comes. That's where it seems that how you describe Cesar's situation, that he reached a certain point and he couldn't go beyond that point. And to me, to understand what that was is to help us begin to unravel how we can take it to the next level in terms of a much greater movement that's more than just farm workers, or, you know, it's about a bigger movement to end a bigger problem. I don't know if that point's clear, the question's clear.
Well, Caesar's vision was beautiful.
Huh?
Caesar's vision was beautiful.
Okay.
I mean, what could be better? A nonviolent movement based on voluntary poverty and sacrifice and service to the poor? That was his vision. It was beautiful, but he didn't seem to know how, or we didn't seem to know how to fit that vision together with empowering farm workers. Glenn?
Confusing and clarifying about this discussion is that you say that Caesar had a vision which only became clear to you in 76, 77, during this period where the union was about to make a transition into being a union, after ALR.
Yeah.
So for many others, the idea of the beautiful idea of voluntary poverty and service to others was a tactic, not a vision. It was a tactic, and it was a tactic born. I don't mean something. I'm not denigrating the idea.
No.
But it was a tactic born of several things. First of all, how can you serve poor people if you're not voluntarily poor? Caesar sold that idea very well, and it's a very good. When I say sold, it's a very legitimate idea. How can you build a movement when you don't have any money? Well, we'll get thousands of people to work for free. But these are all tactics, and Caesar presented them as tactics to build to a point where that's not the vision. They're the tactics for a vision of a union that will empower farm workers so that they can live a decent life, so that they can get what was owed to them for their labor, a fair return on their labor. Now, what happens is at the exact point where that's about to happen, comes this vision, which isn't a tactic at all,
right,
which is the whole point. But I think in fairness, Caesar didn't sell the vision from 65 to 75. Caesar sold the tactic, he wasn't talking about voluntary poverty, he was talking about justice for farmers. He was donating grapes, justice for farmers. Not donating grapes because I want to build world of voluntary poverty. So there's another model.
Yeah, he did.
Am I being unfair?
Well,
yeah, they want a piece of the pie. That's what the union is.
But so, I think he did talk about those issues early on, too.
I know he talked
right?
About
I mean, he did.
But it was not, the vision was justice for farmers.
But what frustrated him after the major fights were over, or we thought they were over,